For all this talk about divine mercy, we have to ask ourselves, where is mercy for Thomas? I mean, in today's gospel, we see Jesus rebuking Thomas. He said, "Thomas, you believe because you have seen, but blessed are those who do not see and still believe." Doesn't Thomas just want what every other disciple had? Last week in the gospel at Easter, the disciples, Peter and the beloved disciple, run immediately to the tomb. And when they came in, the gospel specifically says they saw and they believed. In the beginning of today's gospel, Jesus appears to the other apostles and they see and they believe. Isn't this what Thomas is looking for? To see the Lord and to believe? Where is the mercy for Thomas? We want Thomas to be the protagonist of this story because in a certain way we kind of identify with Thomas. Where is the mercy for Thomas? Perhaps the more fundamental question is really, what is mercy? Is mercy just merely affirmation? Is it complacency? Or is mercy more precisely understood as seeing someone in peril and reaching out to help them? And if this is the case, then Jesus is very merciful. Jesus sees that Thomas is in peril, and it's quite evident that he's in peril. And he reaches out to shake him, to wake him up, to show him that there's something wrong so that he can change. Thomas is in peril. Thomas is in peril because he confines himself and restricts himself. He doesn't allow himself to be open to the mystery of God. And he constructs criteria for God. If Jesus is present here in this place and he shows me his hands and his feet, then I will believe. And don't we do the same thing too? If Jesus shows up in this situation, in this place, and acts in this manner, then I will believe. Jesus, in his mercy, comes to him and says, "No, that's not life. That's not life-giving. There's something more." And he reaches out in mercy, and he reveals to him himself. Prior to this appearance to Thomas in the gospel, of today, we hear that Jesus appears to the apostle and he breathes on them. Can you imagine someone breathing on you today in this situation? It's awkward. We say, "No, Jesus, 6 feet, and make sure you wear a mask per CDC guidelines." No, but Jesus breathes on them. Where are some other times in the Bible in which God breathes upon his people? The very beginning, when he formed out of the lifelessness of clay, and he breathed upon them the breath of life. That is the first creation. And this Easter season, we celebrate the second creation, when Christ breathes upon us the gift of the Holy Spirit, given to us in the waters of baptism and the sacrament of confirmation, to be changed and to be transformed, to be reawakened and to be given life. To not confine ourselves to the construct and to the limitations of our own formation, but rather to be opened up to the mystery of God. You see, the difference between Thomas and the other disciples is that when Thomas asked the Lord to show up here and there in his own way, the other apostles hear that the tomb is empty, and they immediately run to see. They're not confined. They're open. Let us pray that this Sunday of divine mercy, may open us to the great mystery in which God wishes to reveal to us, the Easter joy, to live in a new way, and that when we're open, we become alive. We see in a different manner. the way in which the breath of God changes and transforms us, not only to give us life, but to give to us eternal life.